Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Had a terrific show yesterday. Probably more calls I've ever had in a single show. I think we had seven. No, we had eight. We had eight total callers. I couldn't get to them all. That's the problem with having a one-hour show. So I want to encourage everyone who called in. There was Kevin. There was, I think, Alan and a different Jay. Call in. I want to make sure that you get your chance to speak today. As always, the sooner you call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, the sooner you'll get heard on the air when we deal with a topic that a lot of people want to talk about, like what's going on in Baltimore. We tend to get overwhelmed with calls. And yesterday came the rare instance where I wasn't able to get to every one of you. I feel bad. I want to encourage you to call in today. The last call I had, though, was probably the most interesting. A different Jay from the Jay that I didn't get to talk to, a woman who goes by the name Jay in Los Angeles, read me the riot act for defending the Baltimore mom who read her son the riot act for participating in the riots in Baltimore. She said that we didn't know what the son was doing. The video didn't show what the mom what the son was doing. We do know, as I said to her, that he had covered up his face, not just with a hoodie. No problem with a hoodie. I wear hoodies too. But had covered up his mouth, his nose, so only his eyes showed. And what I felt was a clear example to try to hide his identity should he ever be caught by police. And the woman thought that the mom overreacted. You can see that photo. It's now gone viral. The video's all over CNN and Baltimore News and wherever you want to see it. The woman in bright yellow basically yelling at her son to come on over here. She's using curse words I can't use on the air. What the are you doing? And get that over here. And you get the idea. And in doing so, when he's not listening, she basically, and there's no other way I know how to say this, she slaps him upside the head. And that's a very specific action, a slap upside the head. I said on air, I don't support corporal punishment. I don't support parents spanking their kids. And this woman, Jay from Los Angeles, felt that I was being hypocritical because I was defending this woman who was slapping her son upside the head. But let's be clear here, and particularly to all the people who are attacking this woman and comparing it to the football player who beat his four-year-old son with a switch.
Adrian Peterson,
thank you, who beat his four-year-old son with a switch and got criminal action for it. I mean, beating a four-year-old with a switch is no doubt in my mind child abuse. A football player, a very, very strong man, is beating a four-year-old child with a switch. That, to me, is absolutely night and day from a woman hitting her 16-year-old son in the head, not clocking him, not beating him, not punching him, but kind of slapping him. He's bigger than she is, by the way. I don't think her goal is to hurt him at all. I don't think there was much pain. What there really was it was like a wake-up call. Like, what the F, because that's the word she would have used, are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Wake up. It's kind of like a wake-up call. And no, I don't think that's corporal punishment. No, I don't think that's violence. No, I don't think that's abuse. I actually think it was a good thing to do, particularly since we now know, and I wasn't sure of this yesterday, we now know that he had been throwing rocks at police and he had a brick in his hand. And as the mom said, I don't want to see my son. She's a single mom. She's got five daughters and one son. I don't want to see my only son become Freddie Gray. I don't want to see him killed by police. And you know what? If you throw enough rocks and bricks at police, you might just get shot or attacked or at least arrested, if not worse. She's trying to save him. And if it takes her slapping him upside the head, well, he appears to have learned his lesson. And I want to play for you the mom and son talking with Anderson Cooper at length on CNN, because I want you to get the full feel of what happened. And then feel free, if you still disagree or agree, to call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. So here is the mom and her son, Tanya Graham, and I forget her son's name. I think it's Michael, talking with Anderson Cooper just last night.
You saw Michael with the rock in his hand. And you said you just lost it.
I did. And you know, once he threw that rock down, I was like, you know, you wasn't brought up like this.
Did you worry about embarrassing him in front of
not, not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. He was actually embarrassing himself by wearing that mask and that hoodie and doing what he was doing. And at some point I told him to take the mask off, because why are you hiding behind the mask? If you want to be bold enough to do this, then show your face.
Why do you think this has made such a big impact?
Because as mothers, you don't see us. You don't see us. You see our kids walking to the bus stop and maybe speaking with somebody that's on the corner, and they already been singled out as thugs, as we have already heard that they are. And at no time is my son a thug.
She was worried about you.
Right. She ain't want me getting in trouble by the law. She ain't want me to be like another Freddie Gray.
So there you have it. That's Toya Graham and Michael talking with Anderson Cooper. In some of the other clips, you hear that he had a brick in his hand, that he was throwing rocks. And the son seems to recognize he did wrong. Of course, I'm sure he got a tough talking to from his mom. And I'm sure the humiliation did some good. And I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that. I think that he was not up to any good. I think he probably is a decent kid. Got caught up in the wrong crowd. Got caught up in the excitement. Got caught up in the fun of fighting the power, fighting the man. And his mom needed to reel him in. And here's the thing. I'm somebody who enjoys fighting the power. Okay? That's what I've done all my life. But, I mean, I talked about the fact that I, you know, ripped up my mom's cigarettes when I was 5 years old. I have fought powers that be on issues of everything from changing laws to marriage equality to doing protests. I challenged the United States Supreme Court when they chose Bush to be president in violation of the Constitution. But I've never taken to violence. Now, to be fair, I have a legal education. I know how to challenge legally. I know my rights. I know how to use my rights. I'm a constitutional lawyer. If I don't know how to use my rights, then no one does. So I have certain tools at my disposal that people angry at the death of Freddie Gray do not know they have. They have the tools, but they don't know how they work. They don't have them. And I'm glad that they're investigating, and they should investigate the death of Freddie Gray. And if the police killed Freddie Gray intentionally, they should go to jail for murder. Absolutely. And my big complaint about the rioters is, in fact, I think they took attention away from Freddie Gray, away from justice for him. That's what Freddie Gray's sister said. And I was glad to see, you can disagree with me if you want, I was glad to see the mother discipline her child so that he did not become a Freddie Gray. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Let's go to John in California on line 5. Hi, John. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
Good. What I'm calling about is you dwelling on calling them thugs, and you're so outraged that they're burning this and not being outraged about a man, a black man, that's happening, what, every week now? Someone's being killed and brutalized by the police force. Why is it that it bothers you so much? You speak to issues like, well, they're taking away, you know, from the issues and nonviolence. That's all good. But you're so angry. What does that tell me about you?
Well, John,
you are so angry.
John, I don't know what.
Committed these acts.
Here's the thing, John. I don't know what shows you've heard me do before, But when
yesterday,
okay, all right, yesterday. But let me talk about what I said before yesterday, because I just want to make sure you get the full context of what I've done and what I've said. All right, when Eric Garner was murdered, and I have used that word, murdered by police officers who put him in a chokehold for doing nothing worse than selling illegal cigarettes, I condemned the police in the strongest possible terms. I called them murderers, which I think is a worse word than thugs. Thugs is a bad word. Murderer, I think, is a worse word than thug. I mean, you can disagree. I think thug is bad and murderer is worse. When the South Carolina police officer murdered the man who was, walking away from him, shot him in the back, I called him a murderer. When Freddie Gray was killed, I said 2 weeks ago, long before these riots, I said that there has to be a full and complete investigation, that I think the police illegally arrested him. I didn't think they had a right to chase him for simply looking at them and running away, that we don't have all the facts because there are no body cameras in the police car, though I support requiring body cameras on every police officer and in every police car. And I said just today, before you got on the phone, that if it can be found that the police intentionally killed him, they absolutely should go to jail for murder. I have no sympathy for police racial profiling, killing black men, going after them. I have condemned them in the strongest possible terms. I'm going to be very, very clear about that. Full stop. Now, when it comes to the riots, the things that made me so angry, particularly the thing that really made me the most angry, even more than the looting, was the burning down of the buildings for the seniors who live in the neighborhood. This was...
And you don't understand why they're venting that rage.
See, I understand why people are marching in the streets, and thousands are doing it. And it's the vast majority of people are venting their rage by yelling in the streets, by protesting, by demanding accountability, by demanding an investigation. And I would join them. If I lived in Baltimore, I would join them. I have joined such protests in the past. I agree with them, and I'm strongly supportive of nonviolent protests that are loudly demanding accountability for police officers, just as I support, and I've gone on television, arguing for police body cameras. All right? I completely agree with them. What I don't agree with is the small minority, and I do think it's a small minority, of people who I think are using the tragedy and horror of what happened to Freddie Gray for their own personal advantage, either by looting a pharmacy, and there are not many pharmacies in these poor areas, and they're not going to want to open if they fear they're going to be looted all the time, or, and this is even worse to me, taking the community had worked together, charities and churches had worked together in a very, very poor neighborhood to build this housing for seniors, and it was almost complete, and someone set fire to it. And I hope you can agree with me that whoever set fire to that did an awful thing that has nothing to do with Freddie Gray. It has to do with anger that's completely misdirected. If you want to be angry, go out, then file complaints against the police officer, march in the streets, get laws passed. Don't burn down housing for seniors. Come on, you can't defend that.
I'm not defending that. I'm understanding that. There's a difference. The difference is these people have been, this isn't new. This has been going on for what? Since centuries. And you live with white privilege, and you look through those eyes. And these people, and I understand what
you're saying. But John, why is it that the vast majority...
For a second, you've already spoken.
Yeah, but why is it the vast majority of black people are also angry at the rioters? It's not just white people. The black people are the vast majority of them, almost all of them. Everyone I've talked to, everyone I've heard on the news, they all condemn this too. Not just me.
I also don't condone violence, but I understand it, and I don't call people names. I also understand that there's people exploiting that situation that aren't even from that area. But there are people from that area that are so outraged. They're so angry. Why are they angry? When these cops get let off. Well, these guys aren't going to jail.
John, the anger is justified. I do. And what happened with Eric Garner?
The prosecution.
Yeah. No, I what happened with Eric Garner was a complete outrage, and I came on this show very angry. And people have a right to be angry, and people have a right to demand justice for Freddie Gray. And I did that 2 weeks ago before the Rennie riots. I came on air when it had just happened and said what an atrocity it was and said that they needed to have a full investigation. I'm on their side. I'm just not on the side. Listen, do you think President Obama was he was wrong to call them thugs as well?
Obviously.
Okay.
But I don't think you're a bad guy. I don't think that you are.
I don't. Thank you.
I don't think that you're against, you know, these people being prosecuted for killing this man.
No, I'm not.
I'm just saying calling them thugs isn't going to help. When the college kids riot after a game, they don't call them thugs.
I would. After a game, that's even less justifiable. What, your team lost, so now you're going to hit somebody? What kind of loser are you? What kind of thug are you if, oh, my God, my sports team lost and I disagree with the referee's call, so I hit somebody?
The news.
Well, I would call them
a
thug, too.
I'm not justifying their actions.
Oh, I understand.
I'm simply, the news doesn't call them thugs. You don't even call them thugs.
I would call them thugs.
Nobody does. But when black people do, they call them thugs.
No, I would call them thugs. There's white thugs and black thugs and Latino thugs and Asian thugs. And the thug to me is somebody who does a needless act of violence. And it doesn't matter who they are. I call people who commit domestic violence thugs. And that's something that I've talked about a lot. But let me ask you this. The woman who, oh, you know what? Ah, I'm running out of time. Let me take a break, John. I'll get back to you. Stay on the line. We'll be right back after this. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Right back, right after this.
A Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I see no contradiction between demanding to know what happened to Freddie Gray, indicting police officers who've committed crimes, and condemning the rioters and defending the woman who disciplined her son who was throwing rocks at the police. John, go ahead. We only got a few minutes. I've got like very short time.
I'd like to speak to that about defending the woman.
Yeah.
I don't see anything wrong with what she did either, but everyone's championed that, including Fox News, including the people running for the Republican presidency, because their answer is so simplistic, and that is there's no father in the home. You know, if we just took hold of our children, everything would be all right. That's not true. It's economic. That's what's causing the problem.
Well, that's where I agree with you.
People are marginalized.
I completely agree with you that people are marginalized. And to me, the heroics of the mom was not the same reason that Fox may have praised her, but the fact that this woman who raised six children on her own was tough enough to get out there, watch what her son's doing, and discipline him. And I salute that mom. I got to take another break because I went on long last time. Come on back, 888-48-MARK.
Now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Talking about Baltimore, talking about Freddie Gray, talking about protecting the community from runaway police officers, and yes, talking about protecting the community from rioters, from people who I don't believe are rioting in response to Freddie Gray. I think they're doing so opportunistically. I think they're doing it to grab something from a pharmacy or just for fun, because it's fun to burn things down. It's fun to crash a police car with a baseball bat. It's fun to throw rocks at police. And it's sad because people who have no hope can rally, can march, can protest, should get laws changed. We should require every single police officer to wear body cameras. But I believe that those who riot and those who go to violence actually detract from the message, the progressive fight for restraining police officers from going too far. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let me know what you think. Let's go to Evan in New York City on line one. Evan, you don't agree with me, do you?
Well, you know what? I actually agree with, the mom and whatnot. I don't agree that these people are completely out of touch with reality in terms of understanding the circumstances and their motivations for doing it. But that's, because I think I have a stronger understanding of the streets than you probably do. But I wanted to track that for a second. I think the mom did a good job of doing that with a child. But I'd also like to see the white police officers who ripped that kid's neck off his shoulders. I'd like to see his mom come out and smack him over the head for killing black people. I mean, what's going on in that family? I mean, what were they raised to think when they do stuff like that?
That's a fair question. That's a fair question. I mean, what are the family members of bad cops? It's a little questionable what happened in the back of that police car, though we know they didn't strap. But first of all, I don't think they had a right to arrest him in the first place. I've said that. Second of all, we now find out that he wasn't strapped in. You're required to put people in seatbelts. And, for all we know, he was getting what some have called a rough ride, where police intentionally start and stop a car and can do real harm to someone in the back seat. We don't know. There were no cameras. That's why I want to have cameras. But then you look at a cop like the one in South Carolina, the one that shot Walter Scott, or the one that killed Eric Garner, but particularly the one that killed Walter Scott. I mean, the guy was turning around and facing the other way and just point blank shot him. That's cold. And I would love it if the police, if the media would interview his family and say, what is he about? And of course, they probably wouldn't, because he's a criminal defendant and they probably wouldn't want to talk on camera. But no, you're absolutely right. We got to know what's causing people to have all this hate in their hearts. I mean, it's one thing a 17-year-old kid, 16-year-old kid getting caught up in the fun as 16-year-olds do and doing some things that, I condemn, you condemn, the mom condemns. Quite another thing for a police officer. I don't know how old the guy was that shot Walter Scott, but 30s, well-trained, South Carolina, one of the most racist states in the United States, turn around and shoot a black man in the back. I mean, that's cold. That's really evil. I agree with
you. And this whole, big tarantarah, look at the black mother. Look, Martin Luther King was a nice man, and he got murdered. I mean, it's not necessarily about your mom being there, your dad being there. If you're black, come on, you're under the spotlight. When
that's
it
right.
Comes down to that. So I mean, it's like, that has to that.
Evan, are you a parent?
Yes, I am.
Okay, if you don't mind my asking, how many kids do you have?
I have one son. He's only five, though.
Oh, he's five. Okay. And, all right. He's five then. No, because if you were older and you're somewhere, every single black person I know has given the talk to their kids, usually not quite at age five, but maybe at age 8, 9, 10 and older, of you got to be careful. They're going to be looking for you. Watch out. You can be stopped for driving while black. If the police officer stops you, even if he says something really awful, you be polite back because you don't want to get hit. Get his badge number, I hope they're also saying, because if a police officer does something rude to you, you can file a complaint and you should file a complaint. But at the moment when the guy with the gun is at your door, you got to do what he says. Otherwise, you could lose your life. Every black parent I know has given that talk to their kids. And actually some white parents have as well. But there's no question that the black parents have to do it. And President Obama has said that he gave a similar talk or would give a similar talk to his children.
Yeah, what's so interesting about that is because my wife is a white Puerto Rican.
Okay.
And so my kid could pass for white. Mm-hmm. So it's like the cops drive past and they look at me and they're like, wait a minute, is this his son? Or, you know, what's going on here? So it's kind of interesting. But the whole looting thing and the thugs and whatnot. I mean, I don't really think it matters in a lot of different ways, because the fact is that, again, as I said yesterday, this whole thing would have never happened if there wasn't such an incompetent police force. And, you know, it's like they're supposed to be protecting the community from this type of thuggery, from this type of behavior. And they're woefully incompetent, and they created at West Point a riot. And I think that as a result, you know, the businesses and the homes and whatever that were destroyed, I think the Baltimore Police Department should be on the hook for that.
Yeah,
I'll tell you,
Evan. Look,
you understand about liability.
But Evan, I don't know what happened to Freddie Gray. You don't know what happened to Freddie Gray. It may be he was murdered. It may also be that he, you know, threw, you know, either having asthma or, you know, who we don't know yet, and hopefully we will know soon.
Well, let me tell you
what happened to Freddie Gray. I think
pointed out.
I do think one of the advantages, weird word to use, advantage, but one of the advantages of knowing about what happened to Walter Scott and Eric Garner is we got video, and I was very, very clear.
Right.
That I think the cops who killed Walter Scott, the cop who killed Walter Scott and the cop or cops who killed Eric Garner are murderers. And I said so bluntly on air. Unfortunately, with Michael Brown, with Freddie Gray, we don't have video. And so we may never know exactly what happened. And so I'm not going to say that those cops killed him unless and until there's a trial. And I mean, the video, I don't mind saying, because when I see the video, I feel like I've seen enough. But without the video, I really don't know what happened. I do know they did some things wrong, though. I know that, as far as I'm concerned, they arrested him without cause, and they didn't put a seatbelt on him. So those are two things I know they did wrong. But those two things, you know, aren't murder. They're just wrong. But my point is this, that whatever happened to Freddie Gray, burning down a senior center and looting a pharmacy, it's got nothing to do with Freddie Gray. You can't think. I mean, they may have. Don't get me wrong. They used the excuse of Freddie Gray. They used the excuse of Baltimore being, you know, all very concerned and upset and nonviolent protests going wrong. There are a few people in the community that use that as an excuse to do some really awful things. But to blame the police for the senior center, you disagree?
Wait a minute, Mark. That's your opinion.
It is my opinion. You disagree with me?
And the fact of the matter is, let's think about this. Let's just say there was a blackout, okay? You're saying the police were preoccupied, and these people would have done it regardless of whatever preoccupation the police had at that time, okay?
They might have.
So you're saying that under any circumstance where the police were preoccupied, TBS would have gotten looted and burnt down, and this community center would have been set on fire. Is that what you're trying to say?
I don't know. I don't know if they would have or they wouldn't have. I don't know. I don't know of a blackout in Baltimore that occurred in the last.
If you can't say that, then you can't sit here and say that it was not as a result of the Freddie Gray.
Sure, I can, because one doesn't lead to the other. One doesn't lead to the other. There's no connection between being legitimately angry about police mistreatment of Freddie Gray and burning down a senior center. There's no logic there.
There is logic there, and the logic is a complete lack. I mean, you're talking about, okay, I agree, somebody who does something like that is pretty messed up to begin with.
Right.
But you're talking about something that ignited a spark within certain people as a result of this police misconduct. And, you know,
what I'm saying, Evan, and I think you agree with me, is that we should praise the 99% of people that went out in the streets and marched and protested and demanded accountability and did so without violence and are insisting that there be police body cameras and are insisting that Baltimore, you know, indict those police officers, find out what happened, investigate, put them in jail, that those are the people who are the heroes of the community, not the people who burnt down the senior center.
I'm not trying to say they're heroes.
Okay.
But I'm saying that the police department wasn't doing their job.
Well, of course they were, but Evan, it's not either or. Okay, I can say the police department were not doing their job and the people who looted the store were wrong. I can say I want justice for Freddie Gray and the arson of the senior center should also be prosecuted. It doesn't have to be. I have to be all on one side or all on the other side. Freddie Gray's own sister, his twin sister, condemned the violence of the looters. So I don't
condemn the violence, but the fact of the matter is that the police department is there to make sure that type of thing doesn't happen. And instead of doing that, they perpetuated a situation so much so that violence and looting took place.
Well, no, wait a minute. Are you saying after? Wait. Oh, hold on. Let me just understand you, Evan. Are you saying after killing Freddie Gray, the police did something else that helped cause the looting to occur?
And I've actually heard that the police pulled back and stopped defending the city and let these people go and do what they wanted to do, and that's what happened in L.A.
If they did that, that was wrong too. My understanding is, and again, we all neither you nor I have complete information, and we just got to be honest about that here. But if they did that, that was wrong too, except to the extent that they didn't have enough manpower. They simply didn't have enough police to police everything. I don't know the answer to that. That may or may not be true. Hopefully we'll find it over time. And as soon as there's been an investigation, I will come back on air and report it to you, because I want to know the answers myself. I just don't know them yet.
But even if it's not true, you know, if you sat there and I sat there and we started a riot and we were accused of starting a riot, they'd be frying you and I like bacon in a pan. Now, I don't care what anybody says. The police department in Baltimore started this riot.
There's
some culpability. You can't say there's zero, no culpability.
Evan, I hear you. I hear you. All the listeners heard you. You made your point. I appreciate you calling and making your point. We're just going to have to agree to disagree on this one, but I'm glad you called in, and I'm glad you made your point, and I appreciate it. All right, Evan? Okay. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then I want to get to Brian in Alita, California. Let's take a break first. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Call in. Let me know what you think about the mom, about Baltimore, police violence, the riots, Obama calling them thugs. What do you think? Give me a call. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Got three callers. I'm going to try to get to each and every one of you. Brian in Alita, California, line 5. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I would see, I'm a Caucasian, but I would see if I were an African-American how the way this news is handled would upset me. Just Googling the last couple of minutes, I came across the riots in Kentucky for the second year in a row.
Right.
There's been riots in Kentucky when they lost.
Right.
There was property damage.
Yeah, they burned buildings, too.
There were fires in the street.
Right.
Yeah. But more importantly, last year in Santa Barbara, an estimated 15,000 college students rioted. 6 policemen were injured. One had a brick tossed in his face. Another had sustained a significant head injury when a backpack stuffed with bottles of alcohol was slammed into his head. Police cars were burned. Nobody called either of these participants thugs. Nobody gave.
I would.
These. You might have. Did you?
I would. I would call them.
Why
thugs.
Didn't you?
Why didn't you?
It's
a fair question. I didn't report on those riots, and maybe I should have. So that's actually a fair question.
Well, they were pretty significant riots. I mean, you've got 15,000 people in Santa Barbara rioting, causing injuries to 6 policemen. See, that's the coverage. It's not black people.
Yeah, that's a
you
fair
might
point.
Have called them thugs, but you didn't.
No, that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
That
I
is
take
a
your
fair
point.
And I
agree with you. We need to call them thugs as well. It's interesting because they have less justification, obviously. I mean, they're just basically drunk and causing trouble, these thugs, white thugs,
loses a basketball game.
Right. I mean, it's like, get over it. It's a basketball game. Right. It's very, very different from a man being killed in the back of a police car.
Very different. And I would expect the level of anger to increase to that extent as well.
Fair point, Brian. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Let me go to Heather in Northampton, Massachusetts. Line one. Hi, Heather. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm calling not so much to agree or disagree, but say both and but.
Okay.
And I think that in terms of everything that's going on in the media, both the topic of today, as well as the macro aggression of racism that's shown in the media today, is not paying attention to the microaggressions. So if we look at a spectrum, microaggressions of racism, as even our president has identified, you know, being followed in a department store
right. And
feeling that gaze. But what it can perpetuate is what we call internalized racism, and that's kind of a learned helplessness on the part of people of color.
Yeah.
I think that was more what stirred these riots than one thing or another or the series of macroaggressions in our country today. But it's also a sense of, it doesn't matter whether I break this building down or burn that or throw a stone, because I, in some ways, maybe even have internalized the racial hate around me.
It's like a cry for help.
Some of the people that
were doing it, actually, when interviewed by the press, said something like, well, they treat us like animals, so we act like animals. And I found it fascinating
exactly. That
they called themselves animals. This wasn't some oppressor calling them animals. They called themselves
right. Animals.
So I agree with what you're saying. I do.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, the learned helplessness thing, and I'm not calling them animals personally.
No, me neither. But they called themselves that. It shows a certain self-hate. You're absolutely right.
Right. So briefly, B.F. Skinner, a psychologist that I also don't agree with, did this with canines, in which he put them in a cage, and he would then put, like, a piece of beef or steak outside, and only three times they stepped to go out of the cage, and they were shocked. Would teach them not even to try to get out of the cage.
Yeah.
Only three times stepping on this buzzer. So even when he turned the shock off, they wouldn't go to get the reward or even try to get out the door.
Well,
so it's
learned behavior. You're right. And people learn helplessness. And by the way, it's not just obviously racial. There are women that have learned helplessness because we mistreat victims of sexual assault or domestic violence.
Yeah,
it can be true for any minority or anyone who's oppressed. Thank you for your call, Heather. I do want to quickly get to Anna, who's also in Massachusetts, in Springfield, Massachusetts, line two. You have the last word, Anna. Go ahead.
Hi, Mark. I love it when you're on the Leslie Marshall Show.
Thank you. Well, I have the first hour now is my show. So
I know it's not, but I love to tune in when you're for her and for you.
I was just gonna say, Anna, the first hour is mine now. As of this month, April, the entire first hour is Mark Levine's Inside Scoop. I join in with Leslie the second hour on Wednesdays, but the first hour belongs to me. So if you like me, you can listen every first hour. It's just me, and you got Leslie hours two and three. So just want to let you know that.
I will be on it. I just love listening to you. I love listening to Leslie, but it's a treat for me to hear you on.
So it's good.
Having said that, I vehemently disagree with your and the president's view on the violence in Baltimore.
Okay.
My feeling is there are many, many different black people in the United States. I should say I'm 68, I'm white, I have a master's degree, I'm liberal, I worked my behind off to get Barack elected.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I feel black people are not all the same. If I put myself in the headspace as best as I'm able to as a white, et cetera, young, poor, black male, knowing how high my chances are of being killed, if not murdered, by a white police officer, I would be so enraged that I would be infuriated enough to burn and all of that. And it does enrage me so deeply. I'm old enough to have been around in 1964, 65, seeing everything from then. I've read on all the history
and I'm
of
afraid we're running out of time.
Blacks
I'm sorry,
so
we're just literally out of time. Feel free to call in tomorrow at the same time if you want to just finish what you're saying. I agree with you. It is enraging. And yet, I do think, despite the complete injustice, that people have to rise above as best they can, because it's counterproductive to respond with violence. The only way to respond is to talk about it and make a better world. Talk to you tomorrow.